Thank you, Carla. Beautiful. I want to read to you today and start out reading in our text Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4. I want to talk today a little bit about the concept of drifting. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Well, I'm hoping today to speak to you and to share a few thoughts on the concept of, and I'll entitle the message, Are You Drifting? Are you drifting? And I'm hoping that what I share with you today will be of some great value to you and will maybe increase in value. I heard the story about the art dealer who was having a conversation with the artist that he was working with. And the art dealer said to the artist, I have good news and bad news. That's not always a good thing when you hear that phrase. He said, I have good news and bad news. The art dealer said a gentleman was here in the gallery today, and that gentleman was asking about your work, and he wondered if it would appreciate in value after your death. And to an artist, any interest is good. And he said, well, that's great, but what's the bad news? And he said, well, that gentleman was your doctor. Well, I sometimes think we look towards those kind of things and look at things that appreciate and value, and we need to look at what truly is worthwhile to appreciate and value. So I want to talk today about drifting. The danger of drifting is it's not limited to just the physical realm. Hebrews 2:1 tells us, reminds us, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We find a warning in that sense against drifting. Sadly, it is not uncommon for Christians to drift towards their own destruction. We sometimes think that anybody that falls from Christ, there's this big thud and they fall dramatically in one fell swoop. But most of the time what happens, it's a slow drift from where they were. It usually is not this dramatic decline or this dramatic sin. Most of the time, we slowly drift. There's some things we need to know about drifting. Anyone who has ever been boating knows some about this. If you've been fishing, or if you like water skiing, or if you've ever just been out in a boat, you kind of have some understanding. First, drifting, sadly, it requires little to no effort to drift physically or spiritually. There's no effort whatsoever. When Becky and I were much younger, her parents used to take us to Destin, Florida, and we'd go down there and we'd get out in the ocean, and I'd sometimes like to lie on my back. And I'd almost sometimes be so at peace, so comfortable, you're on vacation, I would lie on my back and all of a sudden realize I drifted far from where I thought I was. And looking up at the sky, there was no realization that anything had taken place because it requires no effort. If you're in a boat, you just stop oaring, or you just stop fighting against the wind and let it go where it will, and a boat will begin to drift with no effort whatsoever. The same is true for us as Christians, which is why we're told in Hebrews we must give the more earnest heed. That's talking about giving the more earnest heed to where we're at. There's a second thing about drifting. It is an unconscious process to drift. It is possible to drift where you're completely unaware. Just like I told you when I would lie on my back and I had no idea I'd even drifted. People that say they're up in the balloons and they get up in that basket. I don't know what they call that. There's a balloon race every year. They say when they get up there and they're in that basket, they'll look at the sky. They have no idea it's even moved. It's almost an unconscious effort or process. So it's possible to drift completely unaware that you've moved because you have no sense of where you were. In a plane, the wind or gravitational forces, they'll move the plane without you ever realizing it. The same is true in the spiritual realm. Many individual Christians have slowly, bit by bit, piece by piece, drifted away. And churches have gradually drifted actually into error, into sin. They only one day find themselves far removed from the scriptures, far removed from where they should be, far removed from all the things that make us who we are as Christians. Another thing about drifting is we never drift upstream. We never drift against the tide. And I'm not talking about roll tide. I'm talking about the ocean tide. All right? We never drift upstream or against the tide. Faithfulness to the Lord is like rowing upstream. When we're rowing and we're faithful, we're going against the tide. If we stop being faithful and we stop rowing as Christians, we go along with the tide. And that's where the world is going, with the tide. They're not fighting anything. You must constantly, and 2 Peter 1:5 says, you must constantly be adding to your faith. You must continue to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. The moment you stop growing, you start going backwards or downwards or downstream. You're just coasting along. You're just bumping into things as you go. Whatever way the waves or the stream carries you, that's the way you go. Another thing about drifting is the speed downstream as you continue to coast and drift, it increases the speed. The dangers increase with the speed of the drift. There's a movie my wife and I love so much. And in that movie, towards the very end of the movie, it's at Niagara Falls. And at the end of that movie, this woman and this fellow who has kidnapped her, they get out on the lake or whatever it is, the dam, and they're getting closer and closer. And at a certain point, they realize they can't get this thing turned around. The speed has increased. And at a certain point, even the Coast Guard, they call in and say, we have to turn around. It's too dangerous, even with an engine. The tide is too powerful. And as Christians, once we get too far into the world, we keep drifting. We keep coasting. The speed increases. We get to where it's very difficult to bring us back, to turn us around and get us back to safe grounds. When we can hear the noise of the waterfall, it is already too late. When we hear the world in our ears, it's too late. When we lose sight of land, it is more difficult to discern that we are drifting. When we lose sight of God's Word, and that's not the first thing we think about, that's not what we think about when we come to bed, that's not what we're studying, that's not what we're hearing on Sunday morning, we've lost our anchor. We've lost our anchor. As we move farther and farther from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do, and we just drift along with whatever the world does. The fifth thing about drifting, it is dangerous to others when we drift as Christians. Now, a ship just drifting, it becomes a hazard to any of the other vessels at sea. If they're going along with the stream and there's another vessel in the way, you're eventually going to have a problem. Parents who are just drifting, grandparents who are drifting, will soon lose opportunities to teach and edify their children in the Word. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And when it says, "Provoke not your children to wrath," I want to add to that, provoke not your children to wrath by turning against God's Word and then expecting them to be the Christian that you're not, because they're not going to turn towards that. They're going to say, "Look at you and what you're doing. Why are you asking me to come to church to be a Christian when I hear you week after week, day after day? You're running this down in the church. You're running that down in the church. You're not attending. You're not worshiping. You're not doing all those things you're telling me to do." I think that's provoking them to some sense of wrath against God's Word, against God's church. Many are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind in today's time, every single doctrine out there. People are just carried along and drift along with whatever anybody out there says. You got all these churches that are feel-good churches. People come in there and they want their ears to be tickled and told how wonderful things are and how God's going to do all these great things for you. But there's no discussion about repentance. There's no discussion about sin. It's just drift and be happy. The old saying, "Don't worry, be happy," is almost the religion. In these churches, you see some of these churches growing. And people say, "Well, we ought to be like them. They're growing." Well, let me tell you something. There's graveyards that's growing, but I don't want to be a graveyard either. I want to grow because of the living love of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I want people that come into this house, they are here not for me to tickle their ears. They're here because they want to grow in God's Word. They want to come closer. They want to have the miracle of salvation in their life. Many are tossed to and fro. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What I find happens so often is people will hear some of these preachers or they will hear some of this doctrine and they have not checked for themselves to see what it says. And I'm so thankful we have a church. I sometimes on Wednesday night, I love it because I have people that ask questions. They're paying attention. Makes me study extra hard to make sure I've got my facts right. That's the way it should be. We should be checking what your preacher says. Go home and say, "Is it in there?" If it's not in there, your preacher has a problem. And it's worthy of you to confront that pastor and say, "Hey, that's not what God's Word says. That's wrong. Show me where it says that." And if it doesn't say that, I'd say your preacher needs a new job, all right? It puts a lot of pressure on us, but a good pressure that we're staying in His Word. There are common signs of drifting, and you can see if you've ever watched any, forgive me, fellas, if you've ever watched any old gentleman out there fishing, and they're leaning back and drinking their soda, and the bobber's been long underneath, and they haven't even looked at it. They're probably drifting and having a great time. And here's the thing. When I used to go out fishing all the time, the best time of my fishing, I'm not like most fishermen, the best time I had fishing is when I wasn't catching fish. I was leaning back in the boat, drinking a soda, having a great time. Sun beaming down, getting a little sun, little cool air, little breeze. Oh, that was a wonderful time. The boat doing whatever it wanted to do. I didn't throw the anchor down. I just let it go. Those were great times. That's what God's people are, sadly enough, that's what God's people are doing all the time. We just pull the anchor and say, "Let's just drift wherever it takes us. Let's just go to every doctrine that's out there. If it makes us happy, so be it." That's a common sign of drifting. One sign of spiritual drifting is a diminishing desire to study God's Word and pray. If you find that you have a diminished desire, there's a problem. The Bible is a unique book, a source of information not found anywhere else. When one loses their desire to study God's Word, they are drifting. We should, as Christians, be hungry for God's Word. As human beings, we are normally and naturally hungry periodically. We can have a big Thanksgiving dinner and eat everything on the table and literally roll away from the table and sit in that lazy boy and just, oh, I don't think I could ever eat another bite. And then what happens 3 or 4 hours later? Is there any more of that turkey for a sandwich? Amen. We're ready. Because natural state of us is to be hungry periodically, physically. The same should be true spiritually. We should be hungry for God's Word. If you are finding that you are not wanting to be in God's Word, you're not hungry to hear Bible study, you're not hungry at any time to hear God's Word preached, there's a problem. You're sick. As humans, if we're not hungry, you are sick in some way. There's some physical problem. Or you're in love or something. It's one of those two things. Now, I remember when I first fell in love with my beautiful wife, there was a time I had the opportunity. I hadn't seen her in like a week or two, and I found out I could drive all the way after a Sunday night service. I was part-time worship leader at a church in Knoxville, Tennessee. I could drive all the way to Louisville, Kentucky and see her, and then I had to be back to school the next day. And after that service, I didn't even stop to eat. I hadn't eaten dinner. I just drove and got there, and I got a couple hours to spend with my loved one. And then when I got through with that, then I was hungry. All right. Put all that aside. We focus on what's important. Spiritually, we should be hungry. There's only a few things that take away from that. When one loses their desire to study God's Word, they're drifting. Prayer is a wonderful blessing, an avenue to communicate with God. Some of us lose our desire to have regular communion with God in prayer. When the Christian prays less and less, that Christian is drifting more and more. They're getting farther and farther away where the desire to have communion with our Heavenly Father is less and less and less. Another sign of spiritual drifting is diminishing desire to be with God's people. This includes attending services to worship God. If we no longer rejoice in the worship of God, if we no longer rejoice in singing, if we are no longer rejoicing in being able to pray in a body of believers, if we no longer desire to study God's Word in a Sunday school or Bible study or Wednesday night prayer time, we're drifting away from what He wants us to be. Fellowship with God's people extends beyond the service of the church. We are to be concerned with edifying one another. If we're drifting, we don't care about our fellow Christians. I see that all the time. Romans 14:19 tells us, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things there wherewith one may edify one another." If I'm close to my Heavenly Father and I am not drifting, I care about my fellow believers. I want to reach out to them. I want to find out how they're doing. I love on them. I want to hug. Y'all know, y'all have already picked up, I'm a huggy kind of person. I like to give a hug. I appreciate, I know in modern times, sometimes you'll come up to somebody and you'll say, give me a, and you want, I want to give them a big old bear hug, and they'll look at me like, oh. And sometimes that's human nature. I'm not saying that's anything wrong or unchristian or anything like that. But if you have no desire to love your fellow Christians here in the body, there's a problem and you're drifting. You're drifting from where God wants you to be. Because the Bible tells us we should be reaching out. We should be caring for one another, looking out for one another, caring when I want to care when you hurt. I want to laugh when you laugh. I want to cry when you cry. I want to be there for you as best I can. That's what a Christian does. When a Christian prefers the companionship of people of the world rather than fellow Christians, that Christian is drifting and heading to the rocks. Those rocks of spiritual destruction. If the best thing in your life is to go out to the hoedown, and let me throw this out. If your best thing in your life and you love the most to do is go to the hoedown and shake your tail and do all that and have a time with people who are not of God, you have drifted far away. And you have no anchor in place. And you are headed to the rocks. You are headed straight to the rocks. When a Christian no longer has the desire to take the message of salvation to others, that Christian is drifting. If you have no interest in sharing the good news, you have no interest in spreading that word. You have no interest in talking to anybody in your entire life about the good news of the gospel. You've drifted a long way. Let me go back to when I got engaged. Let me tell you something. When I got engaged to Rebecca, her name was Bradley, Rebecca Bradley, I wanted to tell the whole world. She picked me. I was excited. I wanted the whole world to know. And all my friends, I made sure they were aware. I am going to marry the prettiest girl in the whole world. Guess what? She picked me over you. I was excited. I wanted to tell the good news. Still to this day, we went down to Simpsonville yesterday and just to have a time with each other and to talk and walk. I like to go there because we get to walk. And it was beautiful yesterday. We went down there and we held hands. And I kind of looked at all the fellas walking by. She's with me. She's with me. She's still the best looking one out there. Sorry, fellas. That's the way I feel. So we need to be willing and excited to share the good news. When one obeys the gospel, he knows God has blotted out sins in our life. And he has made us a new creature in Christ. And he wants to tell the world. That Christian wants to tell the world about Jesus because of what they've done. They're excited. He picked me. And he shouldn't have. That's what we want to tell. We don't want to say, well, I'm such a wonderful person. He picked me because I was so special and so religious and pious, and he knew I was already good, so he might as well add me to the fold because I fit right in. No! He picked me despite who I was. I'm excited about that. I didn't deserve to be part of God's kingdom. I didn't deserve it. And he picked me. And I want to tell folks, let me tell you something. If he'll pick me, guess what? He will definitely pick you. He will accept you. You just need to believe and receive. That's the message we want to be excited about. When a Christian no longer, though, has the desire to take the message out there to the world, that Christian is drifting. Another sign of spiritual drifting is increasing thrill over things of the world. Increasing thrill over the things of the world, such as greater thrill over worldly honors. Over worldly honors. The Apostle John warns us against the love of the world and the things in the world in 1 John 2:15-17. Let me read this to you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Such as increasing enjoyment and worldly pleasures, Paul describes some who were, and he talks about this, 2 Titus 3:4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I think we have a world full of lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the sad thing is, we've got churches filled with them. Lovers of pleasure before lovers of God. That's why if you walk up and down Dixie Highway and Rockford Lane and in other areas, all the churches in the area are down today. Why is that? They're all at the lake. They're all doing something fun. They all have something better to do than be in God's house on Sunday morning. Now, you're saying, well, Ken, are you saying we can't get out and have a vacation and have some time? Absolutely, we should. I have no problem with that. We all need rest periodically. But you will see a 30, 40, 50% drop every time there's a holiday. If for no other reason, well, it's a holiday, I should sleep in. But if our heart's desire is to worship God, we should be in this house. If we reach the point when we find more pleasure in some or any worldly activity than meeting with others to worship God, we definitely are spiritually adrift. And you say, well, Ken, well, I sometimes don't feel like going to church. Why are you saying I'm drifting? Why are you saying I'm such a bad person? I'm saying you need to make it a matter of prayer and say, why do I feel that way? What areas of my life? Where's the drifting occurring? And sometimes we have a tough life, and sometimes things are getting to us. Sometimes there's stresses and strains, and sometimes we're getting depressed over issues we don't feel like we have a control over. Well, I'm here to tell you, guess what? Guess where we can find help and peace is to worship with the believers of God. I'm amazed how people I will talk to. We talked to a gentleman the other day in a restaurant, another of the waiters we talked to, and I asked him if there was anything we could pray. And all he did is run down the church. And I said, well, how can we pray for you? He said, I'm so depressed. And the answer was right there. He ran down the church for 10 minutes and then said how depressed he was. And I said, well, you need to, I wanted to say it and I didn't say it. Well, flip that around, brother. Lift up the Lord and praise His name. And some of that's not, I'm not saying it's an instant cure, but some of that's going to go away. There are remedies against drifting. Number one, drop the anchor. Drop the anchor in your life, God's Word. Have that be the centerpiece. That's the anchor in your life. Once you drop anchor when you're out boating, what happens? No matter what the pull is, that anchor kind of holds it down. It kind of holds it down. It'll drag a little bit, but it'll hold even in the worst of winds. The next thing we can do is keep rowing. There was an old preacher said, when they were out on the boat and they were having some trouble and the winds were coming, and the fella said, well, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. He said, well, pray to heaven, but row to shore. Keep going. We got to keep rowing. We can't stop rowing in the middle of the stream and expect we're going to go forward. Our momentum may carry us a little bit, but that tide is going to carry us the other way in quick measure. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence. 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. It also means to keep abounding in our Christian graces. There's no place for retirement in the Christian life. Can I hear an amen to that? There's no place for retirement. Now, I'm 3 years from retirement from a long 27-year in technology and management at United Parcel Service. And in 3 years, there's going to come a day when the official moment and time comes, you're going to see papers go flying. All right? Those of you that retired, say amen for me. All right, I'm getting close. Lord willing, I'll reach that age. And I've promised my wife, she'll be working as a kindergarten teacher a few years after that, that the first day when I'm home retired, I'm going to buy me some pink fluffy slippers and walk her to the front door. And say, have a nice day, dear. I'm going to be June Cleaver with the pearls, you know. Just kidding. She may buy those for me. But there's no retirement in the Christian life. We don't retire from the work of the Lord. We don't retire from praying. We don't retire from worshiping. We don't retire from tithing. We don't retire from studying God's Word or staying in God's Word. We don't retire from reaching out to people. That keeps going. We keep rowing. We get tired, but we keep rowing. Another remedy against drifting is to watch out for undercurrents. One of the things I thought was so neat, if you've ever been out in the ocean, when we were in Destin, Florida, we would stand out there and I'd go to about waist deep. You know what I'm talking about if you've ever been out there. And you're standing there and the water's coming in. And then about a second later, you can feel your legs wanting to go back out. You know what I'm talking about. That undercurrent, there's a danger. They warn you against it. Sometimes they'll tell you, be careful, because it will carry you out for hundreds of feet in seconds because it's moving so fast. We must always be on guard for undercurrents of temptation. It's hidden. It's beneath the waves. We don't even see the temptation, and it's right there. We have a fleshly nature which wages war against the soul, and we have to be aware of it and watchful. The Bible says, be vigilant for your adversary. What? He's right there. He's ready to snag you with a temptation just as soon as you place yourself and you're not paying attention. Another remedy against drifting is expect to go against the tide. Everybody says, well, it's so hard to be a Christian. Everything's so hard. People are so mean to us. Expect it. Blessed are ye when men shall what? Revile you. The surprise is not when people are mean to you as a Christian. The surprise is when they're nice to you. Be ready for it. The world is not for you. There are many tides to sweep us away. Popularity, peer pressure, the praise of others, modernism, skepticism, humanism, false doctrines of all kinds, liberalism and worldliness in the church. But probably the greatest enemy of the church in our lifetime that we're seeing right now is neglect of the church. Indifference, apathy, lack of interest, no concern. If we as a church, if we as Christians drift along with the majority, we will certainly be lost as a nation and as a world. We are drifting as a nation, and our churches set the tone. The story has been told before, but it bears repeating. The great ship was lost in the fog. The great naval ship lost in the fog, and it was chugging along, and they slowed the speed. And the admiral didn't know where they were, and they were coming along, and off in the distance they see a light. And the signal goes out, and it says, approaching ship, alter your course. And the reply comes back. Beg your pardon, you need to alter your course. Well, that admiral was infuriated. Excuse me, I'm the admiral of this great ship. You will alter your course, approaching ship. The general reply said, I beg of you, please alter your course. That admiral said, I will have you court-martialed in the highest court in the Navy. If you do not alter your course, I command you, alter your course. And a gentle reply comes back. This is the night watchman at the lighthouse. I beg of you, alter your course. We're that admiral. And God's word is saying, alter your course. Change your course. You're drifting. You're heading to the rocks. And as a church, as a nation, the churches in our nation, we're heading to the rocks. We're drifting away from where He wants us to be. And I just wanted to preach this message to call us back, to keep rowing, to keep at it, to not retire. Don't retire. Don't give up. Don't give up on us. Don't give up on this church, on what God can do here. Don't stop. Don't retire. Don't say, oh, all is lost. Keep rowing. Keep at it. Keep giving. Keep worshiping. Keep preaching. Keep telling others about Jesus. And you'll see these aisles filled with people coming to know the Lord. And that's what I want to see. And the angels of heaven will be singing praise when that happens. Amen. Wouldn't you love, and this is my prayer before my last days, whatever they may be, whatever the Lord gives me, people streaming down the aisle coming to see, find the Savior here at Rockford Lane Baptist Church. That's my prayer. Streaming down these aisles, these altars filled with people weeping before the Lord saying, thank you for picking me. Would you stand as we come to our invitation? Father, we come before you at this time asking your blessing on your word, Lord. I ask that it be your message, not mine. Get me out of the way and let the message penetrate, the word of God penetrate. Thank you for all that you've given us through your word. And thank you for allowing us the privilege of being Christians and stepping through this life to lead others to come to you and to come closer to you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the rocks are getting close. The rocks are getting close. And I want to count you one day standing with me in heaven praising our Savior. I want you to be there. He's calling for you. He's knocking on the door of your heart saying, come today. Accept Jesus Christ today. Make today. Don't let anything sway you. Don't be scared. Don't let things harm you from coming to what you need to do. Accept him today. If you need to pray, these altars are open. If you need to talk to me and share something, I'm here at the front as we sing. You have any updates, or we want to give your announcement. I want to keep doing that. I got on Instagram. I figured it out, and I got on Instagram, and she's putting out a great message. I'm going to have her give one more quick announcement on that. Amen. The message doesn't change, but the medium, how we share the message, can change. Amen? And I'm thankful for young people to kind of bring us into the modern age and tell us how it's done, and we can start reaching out in a new way. Wanted to, y'all come on up here. Bud, he goes by Bud. He told me, he said, no, that's not my first name, given name, but that's what I go by. Bud Choir has asked if he can join Rockford Lane Baptist Church, coming from a sister church. Someone has just been inviting him and getting him to come. I don't know. I think it's my preaching. It's got to be, right? I was hoping for an amen. But we are so happy to have Bud to come with us. We are going to be beginning a new members class that he'll be stepping through, and the others that will be stepping through this process. And I know you're more than willing to be a part of that. But all those in favor that will be willing to pray and advance him as a member, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I would ask that you come by and welcome Bud to our membership. And thank you. They've been coming on Wednesday night and putting up with me on Wednesday night. And I don't think I'm the attraction. I think Kathy's cooking is the attraction there. But we appreciate that. If you have not been coming on Wednesday night, I encourage you. We have a great time on Wednesday night. We are studying through the book of James in some great Bible study. Your feedback on Wednesday night is so helpful. It kind of makes for a really nice environment. We meet in what's called the L Building. And Kathy is just putting on some great feeds each Wednesday night. So if you're hungry for God's Word and you're hungry for some good food, you can get both taken care of in one evening. So come Wednesday night at 6:30 and be with us. I really think you'll enjoy your time there. I want to go ahead and mention Deacon's meeting Tuesday night. Just a reminder. And then on the 14th, that's the next Wednesday after that, we will be having our formal church business meeting. We will meet in the L Building as normal. So be prepared and aware of that. We'll kind of have a financial report, a staff report, a couple things, and a couple visionary thoughts for 2017. We're going to look forward and see what's coming down the road at that time. Then September 18th, we will be taking the Lord's Supper during the morning worship hour. And that's going to be a special, special time. And the choir is getting ready to rev up. All right, y'all, I'm going to tell you, once that choir gets going, we're going to rock the house. Are you all ready? We're going to have a time. Y'all ever had a time? The choir is going to give us a time. I'm here to tell you. We're going to do some fun things. Let's go to the Lord and close. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your day here, for those that you've brought in your house. Thank you for the message that you shared with us. I praise you in every way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.